I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rip my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Do you believe that right now there's a crisis at the border?
I think that the answer is no. I think there is a challenge at the border that we are managing, and we have our resources dedicated to managing it.
So is there a border crisis? Have we solved the border crisis? Was there ever a border crisis? We're hearing about a whole host of unaccompanied minors that are approaching our southern border. What are we going to do with these kids? And are they coming now more because of the new administration, or were they always coming? There's a lot of questions surrounding what is taking place on our southern border, and maybe giving us some of those answers, Jim Carafano joins us now. He's a leading expert in national security and foreign policy at the Heritage Foundation, on Twitter at JJ Carafano, and with us right now. Welcome back to the show, Jim. Great to have you here.
Did you call the right guy or what?
I think I did. I think
you
that
did.
You were the go-to guy on this issue. Is there a crisis or isn't there, Jim?
So remember when Biden said, we'll never lie to you?
Oh, yeah.
They lied.
Okay.
So the Secretary of Homeland Security, that was a lie. That was a flat-out lie. So listen, it was the Obama administration that starts with a big O that said, when they said, look, if 1,000 people try to cross a day, that's a crisis. So that was their standard. I didn't make that up. That's what they said, right? Of course, under Trump, we were actually deporting more people every day than we're coming in the country. But we'll put that aside. In the first 2 weeks of Biden, the estimates were the illegal crossings were about 5,000 people per day, which is five times the level of a crisis. So when the secretary says it's not a crisis, it's a lie. They're literally mobilizing resources across the department. It's a lie, right? So they are also, and they don't publicize this, they're also, because the communities at the border have been so overloaded, they are chartering planes and just putting people on planes, giving them a court date that they'll never show up for, and flying them into the interior of the country to try to hide the scope of the problem of how big it is.
Who's that?
Yes, it's directly attributable to Biden's policies, which are like a calling card advertising for human smugglers to rush people to the border.
When you say they're flying people into the country, is that Homeland Security that's doing that? Is that directed by the Biden administration?
Yes. Yes. They are literally chartering planes, putting them on planes, flying them deep into the United States and dumping them there so people just can't go and see, like, oh, my God, there's thousands of people here. They're completely overwhelmed. And this is a completely self-generated crisis. It doesn't matter what you say on the border. It matters what you do. And as soon as people perceive that you are soft on the security of the border and are deporting illegal aliens, they rush here, and they're rushing here for one reason, because they want jobs. And so when you have record unemployment, you are literally importing tens of thousands of people a week to compete for the jobs that you don't have. You are probably importing COVID on a mass scale. And so when people say, we don't understand why the numbers stop going down, well, maybe they stop going down because you're literally importing COVID every day. And remember, virtually everybody that crosses the border has to pay a cartel for the privilege of doing that, which means that you are literally pumping billions of dollars into the cartels every month. And they take those billions of dollars and they turn around and they buy opioids with them, which they sell to you to kill your children so they die.
Sounds like a crisis to me, Ryan.
Jim Carafano is leading expert in national security and foreign policy at Heritage. Jim, are all of these migrants that are coming across the border, are they doing so because there's been policy change by the Obama administration? Or is it just rhetoric? Are they just saying things differently and therefore they know they can get away with more?
No, it's both. It's both. They are saying the things that lead you to believe that you won't be deported, and they're actually changing policies to make it impossible to deport you and actually encouraging people to cross and then facilitating your entry in the United States. Under the current rules that the administration handed out to ICE, which is Immigration and Customs Enforcement, those are the guys that are responsible for actually deporting people who are illegally. Following the current guidelines from this administration, 90% of the people that are here illegally, ICE cannot even attempt to find or contact and deport. They're forbidden by the administration from even trying to find those people. And if they come across them, they can't even touch them or talk to them. So literally, you have to be a convicted felon, or have a felony warrant to actually get somebody from ICE to pay attention to you. You could walk into an ICE facility tomorrow and say, I am here completely illegally. Matter of fact, I didn't even check in at the border. I don't have a court date or anything. I don't have papers. I don't have nothing. And they would just say, well, thanks for coming by and chatting. Here, have a candy bar.
God, that's unbelievable. We're speaking with Jim Carafano, leading expert in national security with the Heritage Foundation. I want to ask you specifically, you know, in the change, obviously the Trump administration and the Biden administration have very different philosophies and very different policies on how they handle, you know, even the existence, the acknowledgement of a crisis. You've laid out crises, multiple situations that are occurring because of this new administration's policies here that are going to have ramifications across the country. This doesn't sound to me like it's just a border issue. It's affecting the entire country. How drastic and how immediate does an administration change like what we've experienced here affect the way people know to come here or how to come here the information to come here?
Look, because there's a network to do that. Matter of fact, the administration has a immigration bill that they want to pass for immigration reform. That bill actually would require the United States State Department to advertise in Latin America about how all the ways you can come here and make sure you can stay without going through the legal immigration system. In other words, they would actually be required to explain to people how to come to the United States without respecting the legal immigration system and not be deported.
Jim, is anybody holding them account? Are people asking them questions about this? And if they are they just like the clip that we played at the beginning of the segment here? Are they just denying that they exist and just flat out lying about it? Or are they saying, no, here's actually what we're trying to accomplish by doing these things?
No, they're doing both. And people aren't asking hard questions, and they certainly aren't providing hard answers. Matter of fact, you heard the Secretary of Homeland Security, the words out of his mouth were, no, it's not a crisis at the border. Yet the administration is scrambling around trying to get a supplemental appropriation to deal with the crisis at the border that does not exist.
Man. Yeah, I was watching Tucker Carlson, I think it was last week, and he was talking about this idea that there are 11 million immigrants here who are undocumented immigrants, trying to think of the right way to say the words.
Yeah, illegal aliens.
Okay, right. That too, illegal aliens, yeah. That are here in this country, and he showed a montage of people repeating 11 million, 11 million, 11 million, and his question was, where does this number come from? And he cites sources that suggest that that 11 million number comes from a study that was done through some subtraction with a census or something that was taken in like 2006, maybe even before that. And then he played a clip, and I think it was from 2019 with Kirstjen Nielsen, saying, is it 11 million or could it be more? And she said it could be 11 million, it could be 22 million, it could be over that. Do you have any understanding of how many people right now are in our country illegally that these Democrats are looking to bless with a pathway to citizenship, the ability to vote, the ability to take in all of the benefits that America has to offer?
No, I mean, nobody has an exact number. It's an estimate that's made from looking at a bunch of different factors. And it's not just a one-time thing. I mean, people routinely try to, you know, guesstimate this thing. And look, I don't think we're that far off. It's not that really freaking hard to assess, you know, kind of what's the general population in the United States and what's the illegal, you know, what portion is not legal. You know, are they perfect estimates? No. Are they double or treble? I doubt that. Are they, you know, half of that? I doubt that as well. But it is a population that is over 10 million. That's no question about that. This is a big chunk of people, and it's getting bigger every day under Biden. As a matter of fact, we could easily add another million people by June at the rate we're going under Biden. But again, when you said it's not just a crisis, a serious crisis, one of the things that's in H.R. 1, which is again another Biden reform bill on election reform, is they want to allow in that building people who are not citizens to vote in the United States. So in other words, as soon as they pass an amnesty bill and they put everybody here illegally on a path to citizenship, under their voting rules, every one of those people could immediately vote in national elections.
That's insane.
Jim Carafa, I'm trying to stick to policy here, because the things you're talking about are so unbelievable. I mean, some of them I've never heard before. But are they going to be able to pass these things with the filibuster in place? I mean, I would have to think this has to go through Congress, and with a filibuster, they can't just push these things through unilaterally.
Well, so I don't know if they can actually pass legislation, but this gets to the point, neither could Trump. And the point is the president has an enormous amount of authority on immigration and border security, and they can use that either way. And you can do incredibly dramatic shifts in policy without getting a law passed through Congress. And it was actually, there's a long history here, but it was actually Obama that kind of broke the deal, right? Because it was always about, well, we want a massive amnesty, but we'll enforce the laws and do border security. That's the trade, right? And everybody kind of toyed with that fiction, and that's a bad deal, because the problem with that deal is it doesn't matter how much you say I'll enforce the law and do border security. If you give people a massive amnesty, that just encourages more mass illegal immigration and the demands for more amnesties. So that deal never passed, and Obama just kind of gave up on that. He said, forget it. I'm just going to let people in. And that's what his policies did. And then Trump came around and he just reversed the power that the executive had and said, no, I'm going to enforce the law. And now Biden is just essentially going back to the bottom policies, which is, yeah, there are plenty of laws on the books. I'm just not going to enforce them because you really can't make me.
Well, you've made a pretty clear case here for a crisis on our southern border. And as it continues to seep its way into the rest of our country, I'd imagine there's a lot of Americans who saw this as a concern with going into the previous administration, who are going to be reminded very quickly. I mean, when you say they're being hidden throughout the course of the country, when they're flying on these charter planes and being hidden into communities throughout the country, is it everywhere? Are there select places that they're going?
I don't know. Because our government really hasn't bothered to tell us what they're actually doing. I don't know if anybody has, outside the government, has a list of, say, here's where we're dumping people. I don't know. But to your point, I think this is a big issue in the sense that Americans didn't vote for this. I mean, okay, people picked one candidate over the other. But when you look at all the issues that Americans are divided on, there was not a clear mandate in the U.S., where everybody said, we're all voting for open borders and abolishing the ability to have a sovereign country, or if anybody that wants to come here whenever they want for whatever they want, that's okay. Nobody voted for that. Yeah. But that's the policies that we got.
Well, we're going to continue to watch it and continue to have you on to explain it to us in a very concise and effective way. We always appreciate you, Jim. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
I'm so proud of you, Jim. You make me so proud. We'll talk to you again next week, Jim. Thanks.
All right. Good talking to you.
You too. Bye-bye. National security and foreign policy leading expert at the Heritage Foundation and a great friend of the show. Let's take a quick break. We'll have a little bit more fun here when we return. Don't forget, you can stream us live at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. And also, you can stream us live on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We're getting real close to that 2,000 subscribers mark. I'll have an update for you when we get back from that. I'll give you an update on my car, too, man. I posted a picture of it yesterday. Katie, did you see that picture of my car?
I did.
Ryan, did you see it on Facebook?
Yeah, I did.
It's a pretty nasty scratch. It's a pretty bad scratch. It's not one that you're like, yeah, I can live with that. No, it's it's a big scratch. Go check it out on the Facebook page while you sign on to the Facebook Live there and see. It was nasty. We're getting it fixed, though. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Isn't it whenever you get it? Before we get into what I missed, which I'm excited to do today for the first time, this conversation that goes back and forth between Geraldo Rivera and Dan Bongino. Geraldo is on the wrong side of this thing. They're talking about Andrew Cuomo, and Geraldo is basically saying, Andrew Cuomo's an old guy who just doesn't really know what he's doing. He should be left alone for it. And he literally says at one point, these women will be fine. I'm like, what? Geraldo, like, somebody use a literal hook and take him. Like, Bongino's head is about to explode watching this go down here. And it is, you can't hardly believe what you're seeing. It was jaw-dropping for me. Listen to this.
Now, I'm very sympathetic to these young ladies who have come forward.
No, that's kind.
None, as far as I have heard yet, has alleged conduct that would be called sexual assault classic sense of it. I feel sorry for each one of those ladies. Their story deserves to be told. I think, though, that Andrew Cuomo, I know this is the most unpopular thing in America to say right now. He's a 63-year-old single guy living in Albany, the most boring town in America. He's all by himself. And single women come by. I'm not saying anything is appropriate. I'm saying that there's human nature, and we have to recognize that he's not
a street corner rapist, as he's being made out. Oh, I'm old school. I'm kind of used to that. The world's changed here.
Yes, the world has changed here. What are you talking about, Geraldo?
Yeah, that's all crap, what Geraldo just said. Because, listen, I'm sorry, man, but this, like you just said, this guy has put himself on the totem pole of morality. He's put himself at the top. Oh, Kavanaugh, who had the most ridiculous accusations you've ever heard leveled against him, debunked by every credible person who understood what really happened in Kavanaugh. And Cuomo was out there. He needs to take a polygraph test, a lie detector test. Nah, man. I'm sorry, Geraldo. He could be lonely all he wants, and go
get a dog. What are you
going to
do with him? What are you going to do? You're going to arrest him?
I'm not doing anything with him. He's disgusting, and he's a creep. I don't want anything to do. I wouldn't even have a tequila shot with this guy. Go get a freaking dog, man, if you're lonely. Stop putting your mitts on people.
Let's mug him?
Dan Bongino needs to take care of all of these creepy old men.
Yeah.
I mean, just because it was a specific way for you maybe 20 years ago doesn't mean that you're not responsible for coming to terms with the current climate. And it doesn't make inappropriate or unwelcome behavior okay. It's not okay. Geraldo, I understand. This is what I understand from you, Geraldo. There was a time where we had different expectations. I acknowledge that. But things have changed because they needed to change. And you're not let off the hook because he literally says he lives in the boring city of Albany. What does that have to do with it? I used to live in Hamel, Illinois, and I love the simpleness of that. But that doesn't entitle me to, like, ignorant behavior. Oh, my gosh. Like,
doesn't it sound like within a year or so, we're going to find out something about Geraldo now, too?
Oh, gosh.
Just for a second, think about if Donald Trump would have said verbatim exactly what Geraldo would have said there. Just think about that for a second. The mainstream media right now would combust it would be over. If Geraldo went on there and was like, oh, Andrew Cuomo, he's one of the old guys. There's just a certain way that those women will be fine. What? Oh, my gosh. I just can't even. Let's get to what I missed.
Hey, what I miss.
All right, Katie. Every day Katie puts together this long sheet of stuff for me to do, and then I don't do it. So she's going to tell us what I missed.
No, it's perfect. So this is a pipeline worker. His name is Jason, and he is talking on Fox News about how basically his job was ruined and he doesn't have a career anymore.
Jason.
His name is Jason, yep.
Yes, ma'am. I was hired previously, a few months ago when President Trump signed off for it to go, and it was going to go, and I was hired to work. It was actually supposed to start next month. And I was actually hired on to Keystone when President Obama was in office, and it got canceled that time. I was hired on it then, too. This is all I know how to do. I spent my whole life learning this craft and this skill, and it's not as easy as somebody might think or people might think to just start all over at 45 years old. I mean,
man, doesn't your heart break for him? Ryan, when you hear someone who's like, this is all I know how to do, and he started under the Obama administration, and now it's just gone.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that these people's stories just don't seem to matter because of who knows what random climate stat that they pulled out that they said, well, this is why we're going to end 100,000 jobs in the United States and make everybody's gas prices go up.
Crazy.
What makes me sad about that situation, too, is that he ends it with, like, this is what I've been doing and this is all I know how to do. So, like, what career choice am I? This guy, he's middle-aged. He's like, where am I supposed to go next if this is the craft I've been practicing my whole entire life?
Learn to code, dude. Learn to code.
Which is it? For 3 months, the Democrats told us the 2020 election was fine. There was no need for an investigation. It was flawless. But today, they tell us we need to change election law with an 800-page bill. Think about it. We need all this, 800 pages, to fix a flawless election? Maybe something else is going on here.
Oh, maybe.
Last year, COVID was the pretext for making changes to election law. Partisan courts, partisan secretary of states went around state legislatures in a fashion and changed election law in some states. And now they want to make sure those unconstitutional changes in a few states become the law in all states. That's what this is about.
An 800-page bill or something, like 798 pages or something like that. And Jim Jordan makes a really good point here. Thank you. I'm glad that you played this because I definitely did miss this. 800 pages to fix a flawless election. Well, which is it, Democrats? If it was flawless, why do we need all of this, all these measures that were penned in H.R. 1? 800 pages worth to try to fix something that ain't broke. What are they doing, Ryan?
This is a really, really hard issue to fix, and not just because of 2020, but because 100% of the time, everybody voting on it has a personal vested interest in the outcome of election integrity, because whatever law they pass is going to affect them in their next election. It's really, really tough.
Yeah, it just shows you how much they have invested in the way things go and how unwilling they are to let somebody on the other side even suggest. I mean, if you didn't see Matt Schlapp and Jim Acosta going back and forth at CPAC, where he's like, were there invalid votes cast? And Acosta admits that, yes, there likely were, and that they don't have the full information. That's Matt Schlapp's favorite line right now. He's like, I got Acosta to say that there were faulty votes. And then Jim Jordan making that perfect point there. Well played.
This next one is your boy.
Oh, boy.
It's Senator Dick Durbin.
Oh,
he's talking about how white supremacy and Antifa are completely different things.
I'm offended.
The fact that this divisive political force is hateful and violent challenges all of us to redouble our efforts. I join my Republican colleagues unequivocally in condemning left-wing violence, but let's stop pretending that the threat of Antifa is equivalent to the white supremacist threat. Vandalizing a federal courthouse in Portland is a crime. It should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, but it is not equivalent to a violent attempt to overturn the results of elections, nor is it equivalent to mass shootings targeting minority communities.
My boy, he's not my Why is it that we can't have a conversation about Antifa publicly without talking about the domestic terrorist threat of white supremacy? We can't talk about white supremacy without talking about Antifa. So what do? We just keep pointing and shouting at each other, and nothing ever gets solved. I want every white supremacist to be eradicated from the face of the earth. If that is the way you're going to live your life, you're gone. You're waste. You're no good to me. You're no good to anybody. Goodbye. Go away.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's move into the next conversation, where we look at people who are just personally looking to destroy and destruct our way of doing things. Why? Because they're obsessed with destroying and destructing things that other people have built. I don't even know what Antifa, is there a goal? Is there an end goal? No, it's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And make that stop. I can't handle it.
This is my
January 6th.
Go
ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Ryan.
January 6th will be the excuse for so much legislation and talking points, all pointing to white supremacy as the single biggest issue in the United States. They were doing it before January 6th. And back when Antifa was the only actual domestic violence happening, they were still saying, well, white supremacy is going to be the downfall of the United States. Now they've got January 6th.
So on the back of good people on both sides, which during the impeachment trial, we actually got to hear publicly what was really said. Donald Trump did not say that white supremacists were good. He never did. He has never endorsed them. He has come out time and time and time again before he even ran for president as an anti-racist, anti-white supremacist, anti-KKK. I could go on and on and on, over and over and over. He dejected it each and every time. The left and the mainstream media needed that to be attached to him so they could affect the change that they wanted to. And because they have the power in the mainstream media, they've succeeded.
This is my last one. Forgive me, Annie, if you've played this today. I don't think you have. This is...
I love the idea that, what did I miss? You may not know what I missed.
I don't know. But I don't think you have. But this is bringing a full circle back to Geraldo and Dan Bongino talking about the allegations against Andrew Cuomo. This is none other than his brother, Chris Cuomo.
Before we start tonight, let me say something that I'm sure is very obvious to you who watch my show. And thank you for that. You're straight with me, I'll be straight with you. Obviously, I'm aware of what's going on with my brother. And obviously, I cannot cover it because he is my brother. Now, of course, CNN has to cover it. They have covered it extensively, and they will continue to do so. I have always cared very deeply about these issues, and profoundly so. I just wanted to tell you that. There's a lot of news going on that matters also, so let's get after that.
Chris, if you can't report on your brother, who is the governor of New York, when things go bad, then stop slobbering all over each other when you want to make things look good for yourself. Stop making a joke out of COVID with your brother, who's the governor of a state where he put thousands of people into nursing homes and they died because of his policy, while you two were jacking around on CNN trying to make light of a situation that you also criticized Donald Trump for having made light of. You do not get to have it both ways, not at least here from noon to 3 on 97.1. You might in the mainstream media, you might with your Democratic pundits, but realistically, Americans all over see what you're doing, and I don't think in the long run it's going to serve either of you very well.
Yeah, it's bull that CNN has covered this extensively. I think last week, and it was one of the number one stories in the country, Katie pulled up in the middle of the show, pulled up CNN.com. It wasn't even listed on their website, not even the little stories at the bottom. So trying to sit backdate and say that you've covered this story is just bull.
Yeah. All right. Is that everything, Katie?
That's what covered? I got for today.
That's right. And you didn't play any sound that I actually played. So thank you for listening to the show, Katie. I appreciate it.
You're
one of our P1 listeners.
That last one, I was like, I know we mentioned it, but did we play it?
Man. All right. Let's take a quick break. Get Tony Colombo here in with us to do a little Signs of the Apocalypse, which, again, is hard to differentiate between the regular stories that we will report here, like how we started off the show. And if you missed it, you're going to want to tune up the podcast of the show, because there are now reception dancing rules in the state of New York. I don't know if that's one of his stories. If it is, we'll revisit that here in a minute. But boy, dancing zones at wedding receptions. That was how we opened the show today, and you can check that out on the Annie Fry Show podcast. When we come back, Tony Colombo. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Tuesday afternoon. Get ready to wrap things up here. Welcome back to St. Louis, Tony Colombo. Did you just make a gigantic mess?
Yeah, did you catch that on the camera?
Yes. I caught a little bit of the aftermath where you look like you were in a bit of a situation.
Yeah. My monster, I just opened my monster can and it...
It's tan, Tony.
It exploded.
He is tan.
Liquid and electronics are fine, Tony. Don't worry about it.
He didn't spill on anything important. Just all of his stuff.
No. I am remembering
just all over me
that we are broadcasting through the PA system, so hopefully people are listening.
I mean,
it's fine. Everything's fine.
Oh yeah.
Signs of the apocalypse.
No. Now. Signs of the apocalypse on the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back, everybody.
Brad on YouTube said that Tony's monster exploded right when the drop hit and Michael Bublé is feeling good.
For real.
I got to go back and
you
watch
what?
That.
I think he's
right. You were moved.
Yeah, I think that timing was like perfect.
To see that again.
Okay, let's dive right in. There's a guy in West Sussex in the UK who was wanted by the police. Unfortunately, the story does not say what he was charged with or why he was wanted. But that is irrelevant to the story because the police are looking for him. And suddenly he walked into the police department and turned himself in earlier this week. And what he told the police when he got there was, quote, "I would rather go back to prison than have to spend more time with the people I'm living with."
Oh my gosh.
He told police he was choosing the, quote, "peace and quiet of prison over spending more time in lockdown with his roommates."
He was probably told at one point in his life to follow your heart.
Yeah. So he would. They're still, I guess, in some pretty serious lockdown over there. And he said, "I would rather be in prison than in lockdown with my roommates."
Tony, can you think off the top of your head? I don't know if you were talking about this earlier. Common advice that people give. I mean, you've been married, you've had children. Common advice that people give that's really actually bad advice. Follow your heart was one of the top suggestions that we had. You have to think about that and tell us if you come up with anything.
I will. I'll have to think about it. But that's a pretty good one, actually. All right.
Telling your daughters to follow their heart these days?
Zoom meetings are de-evolving the human race, at least when it comes to common sense. Here are two examples of that.
Among other things.
Yeah. A plastic surgeon in California showed up for his Zoom traffic court appearance while he was in the middle of operating on a patient.
No.
Yes.
What kind of doctor?
Awesome. Plastic surgeon.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
That's just solid multitasking is what that is.
Amid the whirs and bleeps of medical machinery, the sounds of suction and the bright glow of surgical lamps, Dr. Scott Green appeared before Sacramento Superior Court Commissioner Gary Link's virtual courtroom last week. Dr. Green swore he could concentrate on the surgery and the court appearance, but the judge decided to reschedule. The judge
Good
said,
call.
"I do not feel comfortable for the welfare of a patient if you're in the process of operating." The doctor pushed back and said, "I have another surgeon in here with me. He's helping me out. He's here keeping an eye on everything. So we can do this. Let's just move forward."
Oh.
And the judge said, "I don't think so. I don't think that's appropriate. I'm going to come up with a different date."
Can you imagine waking up and being like, "So your surgeon was in traffic court in the middle of your surgery?"
I hope he's not
what?
Like a
so imagine reading the news story
person,
and
right.
going, "Wait a minute.
I hope
that was the time I was in surgery."
Dude. Gosh.
Yeah, what time of day was that surgery?
So that's one. The other one, a judge in Michigan reminded people that just because they're having court appearance over Zoom, there's still a dress code after a gentleman charged with failure to pay child support, not a gentleman, if you failed to pay child support, made his court appearance shirtless in a Michigan court. So we've got people showing up to
Zoom. Was that surgeon wearing clothes, shirt?
Yeah, his full scrubs. The surgeon was in full scrubs. Yeah, so we got... We've got a plastic surgeon in California showing up for court while in the middle of surgery, and a guy in Michigan showing up for court with no shirt on.
I have a question just regarding...
I have a lot of questions.
Regarding Zoom attire.
Yes.
So the Golden Globes happened. There were some participants that were just in, like, sweatpants, hoodies, barely did their hair on the Golden Globe appearance.
And then there's he was
yes, yes. And then there were others that were dressed to the nines, like they were going to the Ritz Hotel, like ball gowns, the whole thing. What is the? Shouldn't they come up with the proper attire to wear to something? Like, I mean, nobody cares about the Golden Globes, but if you're going to be on it, be presentable.
Should there be some kind of
like a business
upon,
casual
yeah,
standard? Yeah.
Standard for Zoom calls overall.
No.
I don't know.
No. Everything else is collapsed.
I think depending on the.
Just let it go.
I think depending on what it is.
Yeah, me too. Me too. If it's like, yeah.
You know, they have Zoom weddings now. Can you do that in your, you know.
I think depending on what it is.
Sleeveless shirt and.
Can I mean, you can do what you want.
Swimming trunks.
Do it shirtless.
Yeah, I think Mr. Libertarian would agree with do what you want, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Wear what you dig, baby. But, I mean, you also don't want to be inappropriate. So there's a, you know, there's definitely a fine line there. Harry Potter fans?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah,
never
yeah,
seen
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
You know how the pictures move?
Mm-hmm.
You can
in
now,
the Haunted Mansion?
You yeah. can now do that.
Ooh.
For real. There's
pictures
the
move.
Genealogy.
Explain for the non-HP.
So the pictures of dead people in Harry Potter will actually move. It's
in Hogwarts.
It's more
in
of
their
pictures are more of a
is it
GIF
called a,
than
a
they
movie?
Are of a picture. No, they're just like they can just
they're
move
animating.
A
they
bit.
Talk. Yeah. They can do like one of them is a guy eating at a table. He's
well,
eating
no,
or reading.
I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about like the pictures on
okay,
like,
spent
like
too much
Harry
time
Potter's
on moving on.
Like
oh,
mom and dad.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
How they
yes.
Move a
I thought
bit.
You're talking about the
yeah.
portraits
not
in
the
Hogwarts.
Living portraits. No.
I got you.
No.
Okay.
No. So anyway, yep, the genealogy site MyHeritage is offering a new service where they will animate photos of your dead relatives or anyone else. They're using deepfake technology to make the faces in the pictures move and make different expressions.
I don't want
to
see that.
They will not make the people in the pictures talk, since that could get them into some legal trouble with the laws around deepfakes in some countries. The reanimation feature is free if you want to try it out, even with a photo of yourself.
I don't know about that.
I'm with Mike on Facebook. I don't want my dead people moving.
Right?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I'm with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't know that I... Especially since it's not... It's not
really
like a video of them.
Yeah.
It's not something that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's that's kind of what...
It's being recreated.
It's not a memory.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
What do I want to do?
You're making new, very scary memories of walking down hallways.
Let's do this one. A guy named Angel Mazdev? Mazdev.
Sure.
That's it. Tried to rob a bank in Hartsville, South Carolina last Thursday by putting the robbery note in the pneumatic tube in the drive-thru.
Wow.
What does it say? How threatening can it be when it takes 8 seconds to get there?
His note told the tellers to put all the money from the drawers back into the tube
or
and
else.
Tube it over to him, or he'd, quote, kill them. Except his threat lost a lot of its power with the whole tube thing.
Yeah.
The bank employees called the police, and they got there while Angel was still waiting for the tube of cash. He was arrested on several charges.
Not an idiot. You know, we talk about really important things all day long, and we're like, how can we be living in a society like... Oh, okay. Tony comes in here to remind us about the good things. With a little bit of perspective in it. DGS coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.